Hey everyone, this is Tom McCaffrey. Welcome to LE2B Presents Plot Smokers. This is the podcast where I have a guest and I make them get high, and then they have to describe a movie, a well-known movie. I know it seems like it, but I'm actually not high, even though I sound like I am. And today, my guest is comedian Danny Palmer. He has a podcast, The Danny Palmer Show. And we're going to talk about the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, bro?
Good. Did you get high?
Yeah, I'm not pretend coughing for the show. I actually did.
All right. This should be fun. What's so up, the dude? Movie, I've started recording. So the movie that we're going to be discussing is John Hughes's 1986 classic, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Have you seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yeah, you scared me. I thought you were going to throw a different movie at me to fuck me when I was high. It made me scared.
Cool. This is off to a good start. You're already paranoid.
Yeah, I've seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off probably like 5 or 6 times.
And have you seen it recently?
I started to watch it with this girl last week, and then it was late, and then I read a plot synopsis to like bound up in my memory. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, you know, this isn't the most this isn't the SATs.
I was a little afraid to tell you that.
What, even though this podcast has been described as the SATs of podcasts. Okay, so the first we're going to start with, can you just give me like a 3-sentence synopsis of the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Like if you were, you know, writing in like the guide when you, you know, when you go through movies in the guide.
The TV guide?
You know, and it describes a movie.
Yeah.
Like what would you write to describe this movie, Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Okay, I would say... a Chicago high school student decides to ditch class his senior year and convinces his girlfriend and best friend to go along on the ride with him.
Wow. Were you actually reading that from a guide?
No.
That sounded really good. Like that sounds like
Thanks.
A very good.
Well, I was looking on the internet for plot synopses, and there were some sites that had like a paragraph, so I read like 2 or 3 of those. That's probably, I probably cobbled those together.
Yeah, no, it sounded like something went into your head because that was like the best.
This is too good.
Yeah. What kind of weed
are
you smoking?
Even though I'm still too good. What?
Okay, so can you, so let's go through the plot. So how does this movie start? Can you kind of just walk me through the beginning of the movie and what happens, and take me to as they say in screenwriting, the inciting incident, which is basically, kind of what kicks off the story into the rest of the movie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just start.
Okay. I think that it opens on like, he's laying in bed, like, pretending to be sick, and then his mom comes in to check on him, and he acts like he's still sick, and then he like doesn't he give like those 5 things in the screen, like lick your palms, or maybe that's a little later, but it's like that's the beginning setup for his mom.
No, he does do you're good so far,
right? Yeah, like not at the right at the outset, but in the first like 10 minutes I think.
So anyways, he knows the way to ditch school. And then he has like, there's like titles. Do you remember what the titles say besides lick your palms?
Fuck, there were 5 of them. I did watch this. Fuck, it's like, what is it? I'm like, don't be too convincing, like don't act too sick or something like that, maybe. I don't remember. Fuck.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Don't is be it?
Too sick. No.
Not even, well, do you remember what
do you
they
think
are
that would shot? Be advice to get out of going to school to be, hey, don't be too sick. No, it's like clammy hands, moan and wail, and he says don't fake a phony fever.
That's what I meant. That's the one that I was, that's what
but
I meant.
Do you, he says don't fake a phony fever. Do you know why he says that?
Oh, because if she calls you out on it with a thermometer, you're busted.
No.
No.
No,
I thought you were like arrogant about it.
No, it's because you could end up at a doctor's office.
Right.
Okay. And that's where
it's like choose your own adventure.
Yeah. So then what happens after that?
So then the mom leaves the room and then the dad comes in to check on him and they're like, oh, and then Jeannie comes in and she's like, he's lying. He's not sick. And he's like, I am too sick. And then he gives her a wink, like, come on, leave me alone. Like, be on my side.
Yeah.
And then and the dad and the mom are looking at it and they're so concerned. Like, no, Ferris, you stay here. And he's like, and he goes, she goes, Jeannie, is that you? I can barely see. She's like,
yeah, yeah.
Like flicks him off. It's hilarious. It's a really funny movie, man.
All right, I think we've covered the first 2 minutes well. So then what happens? Like so after that scene, what's the next part?
Wow, I feel like, God, I don't remember the exact screenplay.
It doesn't have to be just like big plot points. Like what's one of the next big plot points?
Okay. All right.
So we've established he's taking a day off.
Yes. So then, okay, I think I do remember this. So then I think he calls
Ferris Bueller.
Yeah. He calls Sloane to get her to skip school. And of course she's in.
He calls Sloane?
Oh, no, wait. He calls Cameron to get Cameron to skip school. And Cameron's like, no, I'm too sick. I can't move. I'm too tired.
Yeah.
And then he finally convinces Cameron. And then Cameron and Ferris go to the school to pick up Sloane. Oh, but first they do that call to the school.
Yeah, and who is Sloane?
Sloane is Ferris's girlfriend.
Okay. Do you know the name of the actress that plays her?
I don't.
Okay. Mia Sara. It's not important, but so she's how great. Do they get her out of school? Because she's in school, right?
Yeah. So they pretend. Cameron gets involved. He finally takes a good attitude, and then he calls the school and pretends to be her father and says that her grandmother has died and that they need to come pick her up.
What is the name of the father that they pretend to be?
Fuck, I don't know. I'm not good at movie names. The only ones I'm going to know are Ferris, Cameron, and Sloane.
And does something happen on the phone call?
And Jeannie.
Mr. Peterson is who he's pretending to be.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And he's like, I will come down there and... I don't remember all the time.
And what?
And he's like, oh, my daughter better be out in front of the school at 12 p.m. I'm going to be super pissed off.
And then does Ferris do something at that point? Do they get into a fight?
Who, Ferris and Sloane?
No, Ferris and Cameron. Sloane's in school still.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember that. Did they get in a fight? Oh, yeah, because Cameron doesn't want to be involved. And Ferris is like, no, come on. We're going to party, dude. We got one day.
Okay. All right. So then they need to go pick her up. Yeah. But they need to do something to pick her up. Do you remember what that is?
They just have to pull in front of the school and just look like the dad. No.
But there's a big, he's going to pretend to be the dad, but there's a very big thing that he needs to pull off that he's the dad. Because the dad is a rich guy.
Oh, the nice car. That's why. Oh, that's right. Sorry. That's why he talks Cameron into using his dad's car to go pick up Sloane.
Okay. What kind of car is it?
It's like some red car from the 50s. I still wouldn't know.
What? That's right. It is a Ferrari.
Ferrari. I don't give a fuck about car brands, man.
I mean, they only say it the entire movie, but
okay.
No, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. No, this is good. You're supposed to not.
No, I like it.
This is like you not being good at this is good.
Okay, good. Yeah.
So he gets him to take the Ferrari out, and then what do they do?
Then they're like, then Sloane comes, and doesn't she do something like she makes out with the dad, or she does some weird thing, and the principal's like, did she just make out with that guy right in front of the school?
Yeah.
Doesn't she like kiss?
With Ferris. Yeah.
He kisses Ferris, but Ferris is supposed to be her dad. So then they're like, why is she kissing her dad, right?
Yeah. Okay, so then where do they go in the car? They got Sloane out. Where do they go?
So now they just haul ass to downtown Chicago. And then they get down there. And then they go to this restaurant. And they pretend that they're the Sausage King of Chicago to get into the restaurant.
And then the dad is in the
restaurant.
Right? Okay, some stuff happens before that, but do you remember?
No.
Okay. What's the name of, what's the fake name he's giving to be the sausage to get into the restaurant?
Fuck. Wait, like Art.
What?
Art Winkle.
What's the name?
Art Winkle or something, or like
Bert Winkle.
Art.
It's close. It's Abe Froman.
Abe Froman. Abe Froman, the sausage king of Chicago. It was kind of close. No, it wasn't Danny.
No, that was pretty. That was pretty up. And do they? So they did. What happens at the restaurant? Does the guy believe them?
No. Abe Froman. Yeah, the waiter's really snooty. So, yeah. Yeah, and he's a real piece of shit. He's got that blonde, like, from, what do you call that, poof or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he's like, oh, you're Abe Froman. And then he's like, oh, bullshit. And then he goes around the corner, and he gets the phone to check. And then somehow Ferris gets the phone redirected to him. And he gets out. He's like, you don't let me.
Can you explain that? How does he do that? How does Ferris get the call to him to be on the call?
Fuck. I don't know, because they were just sitting there in the room eating, right? In the lunchroom eating? And then maybe just slamming under the table?
Wait, who's in the lunch? No. They're at the restaurant now.
A restaurant, sorry. The lunchroom of the dining room of the restaurant. The lunchroom.
All right, so that doesn't matter. Somehow he convinces him, and then they eat at the restaurant, and then what happens after the restaurant, when they're leaving the restaurant?
Then they, I think they get in the car, and that's when they see Ferris's dad in the cab next to Ferris.
And then they get into a
she
cab.
She pretends to be a hot chick. I mean, she's hot, but what?
They get into a cab, right?
Yeah.
And is anything going on the side with like another character, like that they keep cutting to, like a school official guy?
Oh, the principal. Yeah, yeah.
What's he doing?
Oh, wait, and. Dude, I forgot about the two dudes that when they park the car, the two dudes take the car on a joyride for 179 miles.
Wow, you know the exact number of miles?
Yeah, that's what it said in the plot synopsis that I read.
Oh, so now you're just getting into the okay.
Now this is pure plot synopsis.
You but what's going on with the principal, like on the side? Like
he's pissed.
What?
He thinks he realizes that Ferris has duped him in front of the school. And so he plots a course of revenge to prove that Ferris is cheating. Oh, and then I remember this part too. I did watch more than I remember because Ferris goes into the school computer and starts hitting backwards in the number of days that he's been absent. It's like 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Like right when the secretary yeah. is watching it go down. Like a pretty baller move.
Yeah, that was like at the beginning though. So like.
Okay. Oh yeah, that's right.
No, but like, so what does the principal do at this point? Like, does he leave the school and yeah, go I think to his house by any chance?
Yeah, but the house is at the end when he drops the bowl on the dog, but he doesn't go to the house until the very end, I don't think.
No, he goes there like in the middle of the movie. There's like a lot of the movie. Do you remember he goes to the house and like he rings a doorbell and something happens?
No.
I mean, was that not a synopsis? What?
Yeah, dude. Just broad strokes only.
All right, let's just go right to this. So, all right, he rings the doorbell and he hears Ferris go hello, and he's like, Ferris, come down. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm not feeling too well. Like I can't come down. I don't want to risk him coming down and getting hurt. And then he's like, have a nice day. Like Ferris's voice on the speaker. And then the principal's pissed and he presses the doorbell again and he hears the exact same recording. So he realizes it's a recording of Ferris. He's not really home. And then do you remember somebody's going on with the sister too? Jeannie?
She has a boyfriend?
What? No. Jeannie, the sister of Ferris Bueller. What is she?
I thought it's just someone going out with her. You said it's something
No. What is something going on with her?
Sorry, like, I misheard
that. Isn't she doing something?
She's real pissed at Ferris, and she just goes into class. I don't know.
She's real pissed at Ferris and goes into class? What?
Yeah. She's at like odds against him. She doesn't like him immediately. The whole
but moment. And so what she does because but she's so mad, she just goes to class.
Fuck, I can't remember. What does she do? I feel like she's such a side character.
She goes home to find out if he's there or not.
Oh, right. She's not a side character. I don't know.
Yeah. It's almost like you're high or something. So, all right, let's get back to Ferris and Cameron and Sloan. So does something happen where they go somewhere and something big happens?
You mean, they go to the Merck Center, the trade floor, and they go to the art museum. Those are the two of the stops along the
way. Yeah, but does something really big happen? Like, do they go to, like, let's say a parade?
But that's towards the end, right? They go to the Cubs game too.
They do go to the Cubs game. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, but isn't the parade at the end?
It's like towards the end, but
okay.
We're getting to that part. Like, so what happens at the parade?
Wait, why are we skipping the fucking art museum? That's my favorite part.
Okay, what happens at the art museum?
Do you mind? Sorry. What? Remember when they go in and Cameron looks at the picture of the painting and it's like the lady on the bank of the river and the little kid's face and it just zooms in and the kid's face is blurry and he really
why is he doing that? What does that moment mean?
Why does
John Hughes have that?
I think it was to say that he felt not seen by his loved ones around him and that he felt like this nameless screaming figure in his life and had never thought about someone else being like that. And maybe that was his first time he witnessed that idea.
Yeah, he sees that in the painting like himself. He sees like a kid being holding like a parent's hand and they're like screaming. Okay.
Yeah, right.
That's kind of a sad part, right?
It is, but I think that was one of the most important scenes because
why?
I think that's what made it not just like a silly, crazy hijinks movie. That made it like have some depth and some like meaning to it. And Ferris says stuff too. He says, he goes, I wrote this on my phone. He goes, I don't believe in the Beatles. I believe in myself. I was like, that's fucking badass.
Well, no, he's quoting someone.
Oh, I thought he thought of that.
He goes, I don't, it's like John Lennon said, I don't believe in Beatles. I just believe in me.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
And then he goes, he might have been onto something there. He was the walrus.
Yeah. Yep. Do you just remember all this or are you reading from a script? Did you have this?
No, I know this movie really well. I've seen it a lot.
Jesus. That's awesome, dude. Your knowledge of this movie is upsetting.
What?
You just know everything about this movie, dude.
Almost as much as you. What? How do the other students throughout the movie, how do the other kids at school feel about Ferris? What kind of rep does he have?
Oh, he's the fucking hero. It's like they start the Save Ferris campaign. Ferris is the man. Everybody loves Ferris. They kind of know that he's a shyster, but they love him.
Why do they love him?
Because he just like parties. They're like, he's a cool guy. And
party?
I think he had convinced the school that he was dying of cancer, didn't he?
Happened. Well, anyway, that's all right. So what happens? Let's get back to this like parade part. So what happens at the parade? Like, why are they like? Does something happen at the parade?
Yeah.
Ferris
decides to jump on a float and lead Twist and Shout.
Yeah,
in front of the whole crowd.
Yeah.
Were you saying before that?
No. That's basically it.
Yeah.
Then what? Would you say that's kind of the pinnacle of the movie? Like that's one of the like landmark scenes.
Absolutely. Iconic scene.
And what do you think? It is the most iconic scene, right?
Yeah.
Which is weird because like I feel like you didn't remember it that well.
I'm a more like fourth tier art museum moment scene.
But you did like but the art museum part really stuck with you.
Yeah, that was my favorite part.
That's what everyone talks about when you bring this movie up. They're like, did you see Ferris Bueller's Day Off? They're like, yeah, remember that art, the part where he stares at the art museum? Like, no.
You remember that?
I think that's kind of a Rorschach test, though, that like some people, parts of this movie would stand out more.
Yeah.
Like, did that hit home with you somehow? Like, did that moment, why do you think that hit home with you?
Maybe.
Why?
Maybe that's why. Yeah, maybe. I mean, my parents were really religious growing up. I didn't feel unseen, though. but I might have felt like not fully understood or like, you know, not wanting that.
Would you feel like when you watch this movie, did you think of yourself as like, oh, I would want to be like Ferris Bueller, or did you see yourself as more like Cameron?
Definitely more like Ferris.
You saw yourself more like Ferris.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't cool like Ferris was when I was in high school, but I was like, had that same kind of like freewheeling spirit. Like, yeah, let's go fucking party. Let's go do shit. Although I never skipped school, so maybe not.
So basically nothing about him was like you at all.
Yeah, I'm a real free spirit with a perfect
attendance. It's weird because I do think I think that's part of the allure of this movie is that people look at him and they see, they want to think of themselves as being like Ferris, but they're not really. Do you know what I mean? But I think when you watch it, you're like, oh, I'm like that. And is that what kind of like resonated with you? Like, oh, I'm like this, or this is how I would want to be.
Yeah, this is how I would want to be.
Okay.
I would want to be the one that's like got some fun schemes and like everybody's into it. I mean, part of what's redeeming about it is that everybody likes him. He's not like a reviled character, even though he's the bad guy, quote unquote.
Right. Do you think he's like a bad guy?
Who's the bad? Is there a bad guy in Ferris Bueller? Cameron's dad?
Well, there's another guy who's in the movie a lot that we talked about who's kind of...
Oh, the principal. Duh, sorry. Yeah. The very obvious bad guy?
Yeah, the bad guy. The guy who's the bad guy in the movie. can we go... So after the parade, what happens? They get into the car again, right?
Yeah, and then they almost run into her dad again, or his dad again, I think, on the way over to the house.
No.
It happens twice. Not then?
That comes kind of later, but they're driving home in the Ferrari and they make like a discovery that's like kind of bad. Do you remember?
No.
Okay. Well, you mentioned it before. Did they realize that the guys drove the car like 179 miles? Do you remember?
Oh, the car's all banged up?
No. There's like the miles are really high on the car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because Cameron says... He checks the mileage.
Oh, that's where he first realizes there's a problem because they didn't ding it up yet, right?
And then what happens to Cameron at that point? Just something...
He flips out.
Yeah, what does he do?
He's just like, God damn it. Ferris, is your fucking fault. I got to fucking... My dad's going to be super pissed. How are we going to get rid of these miles?
No, that's not what he... No, he goes into a catatonic state. He doesn't plan anything, actually.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, kind of like in the beginning, he kind of did that too. Cameron go.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, like really specific weird details. Like,
yeah,
a huge part. Like the main characters, you don't really remember.
Right.
So what? All right. So he's catatonic, and they're at a pool. Does something happen at the? And they're like, Cameron, talk. Like, are you going to talk again? Do you remember? And he won't.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So then he talks, and then they're back at his house. In the garage with the car. What happens there? Remember?
Yes. Wait, can I pause for a moment on the pool scene?
Yeah.
That was a poignant scene too, because that's when Ferris and Sloan were trying to decide their futures after high school and they were going away to different cities. So they were kind of working through that angst. Yeah. Weren't they talking about that by the pool?
Really?
Pretty sure.
What do they say?
Like, I think she's going to go to away to a different town and they're kind of like deciding that they can.
Yeah, that's not together. At the pool, but that is at that point.
Okay, sorry.
Where he's looking at the camera, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
What year is, just on a side note, what year is Cameron and Ferris in?
What year of high school?
Yeah.
I think they're seniors.
What about Sloan?
I think Sloan's a senior too. Aren't they all seniors?
No, Sloan's a junior.
Oh.
He says at that
point. It's kind of perverted that you know that.
What? Why? Because I remember a fact from the movie?
Dude, you're a pervert. You keep track of what year of high school movie character girls are in?
No, the part that you just referenced, he says this is going to be a problem because Sloan has another year of school left. That's kind of the whole predicament.
Okay. So Ferris is the one that's going away.
Yeah. So, all right. And then So that they're at the garage, and like what happens at the garage when they have the car back? Do you remember?
Yeah, they come up with this brilliant scheme to put a brick on the gas pedal and put the, like, jack the back of the car up and then put a brick on the gas pedal and put it in reverse, and it'll undo the miles.
And then what happens?
Then the weight of the car is stronger than the jack, and the car falls down, and then it goes through the glass exterior window and crashes.
But why does that happen? How does it fall down?
I think that's just because the jack wasn't heavy enough to hold the car. No, I don't know. Did something else happen?
Yeah, there's like, it's one of the biggest moments where like Cameron.
I don't need the insults, by the way.
Cameron has a breakdown about his dad. Because remember, you're talking about the art before we stared.
Oh, sorry.
He's really upset when he looks at the art because he feels not seen. He gets mad at the car and he starts talking about his dad. And
yeah, that's right.
Okay. Starts hitting the car, starts kicking.
Oh, he does it. He kicks the front bumper. I remember that.
Yeah.
And then Ferris and Sloan are like, Cameron, no. And then doesn't Ferris like stop Sloan from stopping him? Like, no, let it happen. This needs to happen.
Kind of, yeah. He kind of does.
Right?
Yeah. And then it goes through the glass, right?
Yeah, which is also a great scene.
Yeah, and then what happens after it goes through the glass?
I think then you would think that Cameron would be about to be super pissed, and I guess he is for a minute, but then he just like decides like fuck it. And then just is this totally cool. Right? Something like that. Doesn't he gain his confidence right then?
He does. It's like a big turning point in his character where he's like gonna stand up to his dad for the first time.
Yeah.
He says
Did they show him standing up to his dad in the movie? Sorry.
No.
They don't.
No. What happens after? And then Sloan and Ferris leave. And what happens?
Sloan and Ferris leave.
Does something happen where like the sister gets in trouble?
Oh yeah. Oh, so the whole scene with the principal at home, he goes over to Ferris's house to bust Ferris. And then Jeannie sees him and knocks him out with a coffee mug. No. And then he leaves his wallet there.
He does leave his wallet. He doesn't. There's no. He just kicks him in the face or something.
Oh yeah. Oh wait. But I'm sorry. I'm thinking before that he dropped a coffee cup on a dog to knock a dog out. It's like, dude, that's pretty intense.
No, he doesn't knock him out with a coffee mug.
A dog?
He
knocks a dog out.
He does knock the dog out, but he doesn't use a coffee. Is someone delivers flowers to Ferris?
Oh, sorry.
And he knocks him out with that or something.
What
happens with the sister? Does the sister go like get arrested by any chance?
Yeah, because Jeannie goes home and she sees the principal there. And then she's like, what the fuck? I'm calling the police. And then the police come and he's not there. So then they arrest her for like making a false report.
Yeah.
And then she goes to jail. And then Charlie Sheen walks in and she ends up like fucking Charlie Sheen.
I mean, it's not a bad move. Yeah, I mean, she's not in jail, but she's just kind of like, do you remember what he says to her, Charlie Sheen?
He's, I don't know, like something like, if you must be bad in there, you'll be bad out there or something. It's some like pithy remark.
But he says what?
I don't know. I forget. Doesn't he says something like real like short and pithy. That's like a pickup line, right?
The first thing he says is he goes, drugs? And then she goes, no, thanks, I'm straight. And then he goes, no, I meant, are you in here for drugs?
Yeah, that's right.
And then she goes, why are you here? And he goes, drugs.
Dude, that is hilarious.
And then she goes, I don't know why I'm here. And he goes, why don't you go home? And then she goes, why don't you stick your thumb up your butt? You remember this?
No, not that.
Okay. So then...
Do they make out?
What?
Sorry, do they make out?
Yeah, they make out.
Yeah, they do.
And then the mom comes and picks her up.
Okay, right.
Let's pick it up from there. So what's going on? Ferris is on his way home, right?
Yeah. And then the principal comes to confront him. And then Jeannie opens the door and she's like...
There's a whole thing. Is there like a whole scene where he's going home or something? Or
oh, no, I don't remember.
There's like a 10-minute long chase scene.
Who's chasing who?
He's running home through like all these backyards. Remember?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. He runs into the sister and the mom driving home. The sister sees him, so she's racing home to bust him.
Oh yeah,
but he's racing to get home before they get home.
And then he runs to someone's house on the chase.
Yeah. Huh?
Which is a crazy thing to do.
When he runs through someone's house, does he say anything funny?
I don't remember.
He goes, "No, don't get up." And then they go, "Oh, it smells delicious." And then he runs in the back door and goes, "Dinner's ready." Do you remember what music's playing during that scene?
What music?
Yeah. Like is how it goes?
I feel like it's some sort of like doop-doop-doop-doop. I don't know. No.
Wait, how does it go?
No, I'm not doing that again.
It goes boom-bump-bump.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I love that song. Oh, I'm going to listen to that again tonight, dude.
Yeah, I think you did Seinfeld, actually.
That guy?
What?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So then he gets to the house. What happens? Oh, we're almost done. When he gets to the house, what happens?
Oh, I'm enjoying it. I don't care. I'm trying to think. I think he bribes Jeannie into being chill or something. And then his parents like give him a hug and like make him dinner or like soup because he's sick.
Yeah. roughly that's sort of what happens, but not at all. Like,
is it not even close?
Well, he gets to the house and the door's locked, and he goes, he picks up the mat and the spare key is gone.
Oh yeah.
And then he turns and the principal's standing there with the spare key.
Oh yeah.
And he's like, "Hey, you're gonna be in school another year now." And then the sister opens the door and she's like, she lets him in and helps him. The whole point is that the sister has been changed by Charlie Sheen's advice to not be spiteful against her brother, but to actually like help him. And like she's kind of happy at the end.
That's so nice. That's a classic John Hughes kind of movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. But so this is kind of just me telling you this movie. What?
Is that out of scope to say talk about his au revoir?
So then, does he get away with him? Does anyone find out? Or
I think his parents never find out, and Jeannie just lets never him find off the hook.
What's the last line he says? Like, what's his big catchphrase?
He goes, "You know, life moves by pretty quick. You got to stop and look around every once in a while.
Yeah, that's or you'll miss out." That's pretty accurate.
Thanks.
Okay, so that's the end of the movie.
Plot synopsis either. I remember that. What?
Real quick, there's like a credit scene during the credits. Dude, you what happens on that?
I was just about to get into it. This is one of the best parts of the movie. I talk about this like once every few months. It's so great when the credits are rolling and then Ferris is walking down the hall in his like bathrobe, and then he
stops. Not that part. There's a part whole thing before that.
In the credits?
Yeah. Yeah. Like he's. The principal's going home.
Oh, yeah, dragging one shoe or something?
Yeah. All right, well, I guess there's a bus that stops and he gets on the school bus. The principal.
Oh, yeah. Then he's humiliated because he has to ride home on a school bus.
Yeah, okay. So, and what happens at the way end, the part you were talking about, the bathrobe? What happens?
Oh, yeah. So then Ferris turns around and he like looks at the camera like as to look at you in the theater and he's like, "What are you doing? Like, the movie's over. Go home." He gives you this look like there's something really wrong with you. That's so funny, dude. Hey, man. Just fucking.
Yeah, that's basically it. Okay, so, all right. That was pretty good.
He breaks the fourth wall. The first time in the whole movie that the fourth wall is broken. The first and only time that the fourth wall is broken. Sorry.
That's the first time in the movie he breaks the fourth wall?
Yeah. They never break the fourth
about,
wall
like,
in the
whole movie. First 5 minutes of the movie.
Oh, they did? Oh,
it's actually like the 10th time he does it. Like literally the entire movie has been doing it.
Yeah, what am I talking about? It was way off, Danny.
Don't you remember the whole part where he's like, the way to get out of school? And you said with the 5-point plan?
Yeah.
He actually breaks the fourth wall in the first scene.
Right.
Well, do you remember?
You said when he's talking to Sloan about going away to college, he breaks it then too?
That too, yeah.
So there's 3 times when they do that?
No, I'd say he breaks it like 20 times in the movie. It's literally like one of the main staples of it. But anyway. Conceits? What?
The main conceits?
Yeah, no, it's just funny that. Okay, so there's a couple of trivia things I'm going to ask you, okay? Are you ready?
Wait, can I just say for a second that like it's kind of bad that I'm the super high one, but I knew the word conceits and you didn't. So just keep that.
You what?
Just keep that in mind. That I knew the word conceits and you didn't, and you know I'm the one that's high and you're sober. So that's a little weird for me.
Sure, but I do know that word.
Yeah, well, you didn't use it.
That's right. I didn't use it, but I mean I do know it.
Right. Sounds
okay. Yeah, I'll conceited. Give you that one.
I'm just kidding. Sorry, I'll be quiet.
It's not a score, but. All right, so here's some trivia questions. All right, so can you, what year did this movie come out?
Oh, man. I want to say like 1986.
Oh, well, that's right. That's right.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I probably read that yesterday.
Can you name 4 actors in the movie?
Fuck, dude. Well, I got Matthew Broderick and Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
And then you told me that other girl.
Who?
Sloan, but I didn't know her beforehand. May something? What did you say her name was?
Well, I mean, I'm asking you the names.
I don't know who the principal is. I don't know who Jeannie is. The dad looks like Kirk Cameron. I mean, the dad from Growing Pains, Alan Thicke, but it's not Alan Thicke.
No, it's definitely not. All right. Jennifer Grey is in it.
Oh, Jennifer Grey is. She's Jeannie?
Yeah.
Okay. She was great.
No one else? All right. Wait, what about mom? Cameron? What's Cameron's name?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I know a story about him, though. Is this not the right time for it?
Well, what is it?
He went when he went to LA after Ferris Bueller's, he was trying to get work and he was like waiting tables. Like he couldn't work after Ferris Bueller. I think were you the one that told me that?
I think I was, yeah.
Sorry, no, I'm telling you your own stories. But dude, that's crazy.
That is a good story. I actually enjoy that story. I enjoy hearing that story more than I do telling it. Apparently.
Good thing I'm here then.
Okay, this is a thing. Have you ever heard... this is a trivia thing. Something happened the summer this movie came out that was like a big thing involving Matthew Broderick. But it didn't really make... But it's a really big story. And it's bad. Something
happened.
Do you remember?
I know. Yeah, but he had the head-on collision in like England or something and the people in the other car were killed.
Yeah. And how do you know... Any connection with me with that?
Yeah, you're the only reason I know that because I was in your act, you fucking heinous person. Just kidding.
Because I make a joke about how he literally like murdered or he accidentally killed 2 people.
Yeah.
And actually, do you know who was with him when he did that?
Was it Sarah Jessica Parker?
No, it was Jennifer Grey.
Oh, really? Was he dating her?
Yeah, they were dating right after they filmed this.
No way.
Yeah.
So he fucked his sister? Is that a secret fantasy they
both
have? I think
that they were engaged, actually.
Wow, that's cool.
But anyway, that's
makes sense. That was a big movie in their lives, I'm sure.
Okay, and then this is something I'm going to ask you. Have you ever heard this? This is a theory about the movie that some people speculate online that... that Ferris Bueller doesn't really exist and that the whole movie is that Ferris is someone in Cameron's head, like his own Tyler Durden, you know, Fight Club.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Have you ever heard that theory?
No.
What do you think of that theory? That like the whole thing is that Ferris Bueller kind of, because Ferris Bueller isn't a really realistic character. He kind of represents, remember I was saying before when people watch this movie, they're like, oh, my personality was more like that. And Tyler Durden kind of represents like, this is the kind of person you wish you were in real life. So
yeah, like an alter ego.
So what do you think of that theory that like Ferris Bueller isn't, do you think that could be true?
I don't think it could be true. I mean, I guess you can't prevent someone from interpreting it that way, but I don't think that's what John Hughes meant. That doesn't sound very John Hughes to me.
No, I don't think it's true either. But that is kind of a an interesting theory.
Yeah, it is.
Okay,
we I don't really like that.
Deep with that one.
I want Ferris to be real. What?
I said, yeah, we really went deep with that one. What other trivia can I ask?
Like there's like some really famous quotable lines. Like, do you remember any like jeweler?
Do you remember any like big other quotable lines besides the one you said? Like that people like that maybe exist still in pop culture today.
Oh fuck! Probably if I think about it for a second. Fuck.
Like, was there a teacher that like they kept cutting to and kept kind of saying something?
Oh, the secretary with the red hair? She's hilarious. No, there's a teacher.
No, no, teacher, not secretary.
Fuck.
Do you know the name of the secretary?
Oh, Ben Stein.
Yeah. What is he saying? What's one of his lines?
Bueller.
Yeah.
That thing? Okay. Yeah, the Bueller.
Yeah, he just keeps going, Bueller. Bueller.
Dude, how overused has that line been in broader culture?
It has, right?
I wish that people would have never seen that movie just to make that fun, that moment remain funny. I guess it is still funny. It's the original one.
Can we? All right, this is one of my last ones. So can you name Matthew Broderick as a star, right?
Yeah.
Can you name four other Matthew Broderick movies?
Oh, I bet I can.
Okay. Well,
I'm going to start you off with, I bet you weren't expecting me to pull out Biloxi Blues, but I just did.
No, I wasn't. Yeah.
Did you see that one?
Yeah, I did. Did you?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
That one about?
Fuck.
We don't have time.
We go through each of his movies. Wait, another one? Oh, fuck, dude.
You can't use this one either.
I can't what?
You can't use Ferris Bueller as one.
Right. I need three besides that. Fuck. I'm blanking, dude. Okay. He hasn't been in a
good
whole
job.
Lot of movies, has he?
What?
Yeah, thanks. Has he been in a shit ton of movies?
He's been in a lot of movies.
I feel dumb.
Was there anything he was in about wartime or something?
He wasn't in Saving Private Ryan, was he?
No, he was definitely not in that. Was he in something about war games?
Oh, the Red Dawn or something? What's War Games? Is that a movie?
Yes, there's a movie named War Games that he's the star of. You've never heard of War Games?
No, dude. I don't sit in the library in middle school and look up the encyclopedia of movies like you do, bro.
That's literally like one of the biggest movies of the 80s.
War Games?
I bet 20%
of the population could tell you what War Games is.
What'd you say?
Sorry. Less than 20% of the U.S. population could tell you what War Games
is. I guarantee you, if the next 10 people that you talk to, if you mention War Games, they'll tell you they love that movie.
I have to say the movie War Games. I just want to say War Games. I think all you said was War Games.
It actually is the movie that made him, sort of. Okay, anyway, what else? Anything else besides War Games? You know what? If you don't know War Games, you don't know anymore movies he was in.
All I can think of is Sex and the City, and that's not even a show.
He wasn't even in that.
I know.
Okay, well, I think this has been productive. He's dating her. What?
What?
He's dating her?
I know. They're married, right?
Yeah. Been married to her for like 20 years.
Yeah. You think that's a happy relationship? I doubt it.
Have you heard the rumor that he's gay?
He could be happy. I don't know. No.
You never heard that?
No. What do you think about it? I mean, how would you know?
I don't know. I don't know. When I heard it, I thought it was possible, though. When you think about it, does he seem effeminate to you at all?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's not a right or wrong.
This will be good to put out globally. Great.
Well, no. I mean, I guess I was trying to think if he seemed... I don't know. We can get into that later. But
yeah.
This is my last one. Okay, can you name three other John Hughes movies?
Oh, yes, that I can do.
Okay. War Games.
War Games, too. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah.
Uncle Buck.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Fuck. Was it Roxanne? Not Roxanne. Doesn't he have another Steve Martin one? Fuck.
No. What? There's a lot of high school ones.
Oh, yeah. Like 16 Candles and Pretty in Pink. Did you do both of those?
What?
Oh, did he do Breakfast Club?
He didn't. He did Breakfast Club. He didn't do Pretty in Pink. He produced Pretty in Pink.
Oh, okay. He directed Breakfast Club?
Yeah.
Okay. And can you, dude, Breakfast Club is a great fucking movie.
This will be my last one.
Sorry.
Can you name an actress that was in multiple movies of his, like with red hair?
No shot. Molly Ringwald.
Oh. Why'd you say no shot?
I said no shot and then immediately got it. I don't know.
Do you know? Can you name the actors in The Breakfast Club?
Judd Hirsch.
No. Judd is right.
It's not Judd Hirsch. Wasn't Judd Hirsch in like...
Yeah, Judd Hirsch was in that high school movie when he was 50. Judd Nelson, who else? Who were the girls in it?
Who's that girl with the dandruff? I forget her fucking name.
Allie something?
Allie McSheedy?
Allie
McSheedy. Is that her name?
I don't, but how did you know it's Allie Sheedy, but where did the Mick fit? Are you saying Allie McBeal instead of Allie?
Probably.
Okay, and this will be my last. Allie Sheedy was in another movie a year before The Breakfast Club. I think it was her second movie. Can you name it?
Dude, that's an insanely difficult question.
I'll give you a hint.
What?
It's called War Games.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's Ally Sheedy and Matthew Broderick.
Oh my God.
So I think, thanks a lot for doing this. I think we've learned a lot. And I think you should go watch War Games.
It sounds scary. I don't think I want to watch it.
No, it's actually a really great movie.
Really? All right. I'll peep it.
Okay. Well, all right. I think that's going to be it. I want to thank my guest, Danny Palmer, for taking us through. Or I want to thank Danny Palmer for getting high and listening to me explain Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah. It's a real patronizing hour of my life.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Was it fun? I mean, you know.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was fun being high and getting and having me tell you you're wrong.
Yeah, with your glasses on.
Okay, well, so we'll check out Danny. What's your Instagram handle?
Danny Palmer NYC, and that's it. The Danny Palmer Show.
Okay, and then that's the name of your, and rate and review this podcast, and we'll see you on next time on Plot Smokers. See you next time.